Today's shir in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, the pasuk says, "Leisakiru panim b'mishpat." As the Gemara continues to discuss the halachas of dayanim, and says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "Leisakiru panim b'mishpat." Rabbi Yehuda, how do we understand these words? "Leisakirehu," that if there's a party to a dentira that the judge is friends with, "Leisakirehu," he should not be given preferential treatment. Rabbi Lazar says the way to understand these words is "Leisanakrehu." On the contrary, that if there's a person that's a party to the entire that the dayan dislikes, "Leisanakrehu," he should not be treated as a stranger. Says the Gemara, "Ushbeznichne the Rav Osla Kamei Ladina." There was a person who Rav was once a guest in his home, and that person now came to the Dentaira that he wanted Rav to adjudicate. Amaloi Lav Asbichnayat. This person told Rav, "Were you once not my guest?" Amaloi in. So Rav said, "Yes, I clearly recall once being a guest by you." Amaloi. So then this host asked Rav, told Rav, "Dina Isli, I have a dentaira that I'd like you to be the dayan." Amalei, so Rav responded, "Psim l'chaladina, I'm disqualified from being a dayan at this dentaira." There's actually a machloikis rishonim if Rav was posel, was disqualified midaraisa, was he only taking upon himself a chumrah. Tosfos' opinion is the Rav, given that he wasn't necessarily so specifically close to this individual, was not disqualified midaraisa. He was only disqualified midarabbanan. There are others that seem to say that he was posel midaraisa. Furthermore, I sort of the Paiskim seem to suggest it matters what the events actually would have been. Meaning, had this individual not told Rav that I did you a favor once, that you were a guest in my home, then he would have not been disqualified. The issue here was that this individual mentioned to Rav that he was once a guest in his home, and he said it to him as the dentaira was about to commence, which clearly indicates a situation that he would of shaychad dvarim, which is of course also. Furthermore, I saw a very interesting question that the Pischei Tshuva discusses. The Gemara clearly here is teaching us that one is not allowed to be a dayan in a situation where I am a friend of one of the litigants or an enemy. Discuss the Pischei Tshuva based actually on the Shaila Tshuvas Habach. What would be the halacha in a situation where I'm friends with both of the parties, or on the contrary, I'm enemies with both of the parties? May one be a dayan under such circumstances or not? And the Pischei Tshuva says that one is not allowed to be a dayan in such a dentaira. He explains, for it's impossible to have a situation that somebody is equally friendly with two individuals, or equally not friendly, or doesn't get along with two individuals. It's never exactly the same. And therefore, there's always going to be a possibility that one is a better friend to me, or one is a bigger enemy to me. And therefore, if any of the litigants are friends or enemies of the dayan should not be a dayan to such a dentaira. Amalei Rav L'Rav Kahana. So now the Rav had disqualified himself from being a dayan in this case. So he said to Rav Kahana, "Puk dayni, you take on the case." Chazia Davika Gozbe. Rav Kahana saw that the man was trying to show as if he's a great friend with Rav, hoping that by acting this way, it will influence Rav Kahana's decision. Amalei, so Rav Kahana said to this person, Itzaisa, tzaisa. If you listen and do what I say, fine. Bilav, but if not, mafkinalach Rav meunach. I'm going to remove Rav from your strength. What does it mean? I'm going to put you into Cheirim, and once I put you into Cheirim, you, Rav, will not be able to speak to you, and therefore you won't have Rav to rely on as the person to rely on that you should think that's how you're going to influence the Din Torah. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, regarding the Yonim, Kekotn Kegol Teshmon, Amresh Lokeshe Chavavalov Din Shapruta, Kedin Shmei Mana. A dying should treat equally a Din Torah with a small amount of money like he treats a Din Torah of a large amount of money. Ask the Gemara Lamai Hilchasa, what does the Pasuk mean? Ilema Layurebe Mifsika, if it means that a judge has to make sure that his psak is accurate, and it makes no size the dollar amount of the Nantira to the accuracy of the decision, says the Marpshita, of course a dying has to be accurate. Says the Gemara, the halacha is that regarding the din, that if a dentara of a small amount of money comes first, that should be the dentara that the dayan should take upon himself, even though the other dentara is a larger amount. So the Mefarshim ask the obvious question, isn't that also pshita, that you have to deal with a first come first serve basis, and if the small dentara comes first, certainly you have to paskin that entire verse. So I saw essentially two answers to this question. One answer is that maybe in the case of a bigger dentira, there's a concern that the person who there's a claim against will run away and will never be able to collect this large sum of money, which would be a real loss, which would represent a real loss. That's why the Pasuk has to tell us that no, we have to take on the small din Torah first, even though there's this concern. But the Mashah gives a different answer. The Mashah says that the Dayanim would get paid based on the size of the din Torah. And therefore, if there was a large din Torah, a large amount of money, then the Dayanim would get a significant salary. But if it's a small din Torah, perhaps the dayan won't even get any compensation for such a din Torah. Teaches us the pasuk that still we have to follow you have to go court, the din, first din Torah first. Which really opens itself up to an interesting question. I saw Reb Zilberstein discusses at great length the entire issue of first come, first served. Because he indicates that even though, as I just quoted, that the Mashah says that the obligation is to go according to the first come, first serve by the Torah, even if the Dayan is going to get a bigger salary by a smaller than Torah, the question, the Erech Shai, he says, disagrees. And he says the Erech Shai holds that certainly a Dayan who's doing this to earn, who has to earn a salary, should take in consideration his salary. And if they're two Din Torahs, he should take on the bigger Din Torah if that's where he's going to be able to make better compensation. And that's why he paskins that, let's say there's a store, and the two customers that come into my store, and one is a good customer, a wealthy individual, who, if I am successful in selling him whatever I'm selling him, I can make a very decent profit. The other person is not that type of customer. Certainly, he says that according to Erech Shai, the halacha would be that I could treat the wealthier customer first, the better customer first. And he suggests that even it could well be that even the Mashah would agree. Because Mashah is speaking in our Gemara to Dayanim. that Dayanim, as we're learning, have this obligation to cotton to gadol tishmun. However, when it's not a situation of Dayanim, it could well be that the halacha is that if I'm running a business, I should do what's good for my business, and if taking care of a different customer first is better for the business, that's what I should do. And as I said, he goes on to discuss the issue of first come, first serve. He says that certainly because of tzedek v'yosher, the right thing is to treat first come, first serve. And then he has a very interesting discussion about two different shilas. He discusses one situation where somebody walks into a supermarket, and the lines in the supermarket at the cash registers are very long. So he goes and he says, he takes an empty wagon, he puts it at the back of the line, and he says, "This, I'm reserving my place on the line, and then I'll go shopping with another wagon, and then by the time I finish my shopping, hopefully it'll almost be my turn to pay at the cashier." That's one question he discusses. And the other question he discusses, if somebody walks into a pharmacy or walks into a barber, and again there too there's a long line, and he says, he takes his place on the line, at the end of the line, and he says, "I'll come back, I'll go somewhere else, I'll go learn, daven, I'll take care of another errand." What is the halacha? And it's interesting to see the perspective of a Gadol B'Yisrael. He says, in the situation of the supermarket, it's usur. He says, because part of the supermarket experience, part of the procedure is that first you shop, you gather whatever you're going to buy, and then afterwards you get online to pay. So somebody comes into the store and he says, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get online and then shop or do it at the same time." That's wrong. Everybody has to follow the same procedure. Shop and then get online. He says, on the other hand, somebody waiting online by the barber, somebody waiting online by the pharmacy to be served by the pharmacist, it's not part of the procedure. You have to stand in line. You have to wait your turn, but you don't have to stand in line. And therefore, in such a situation, he says, if you reserve your space in line and then go out and come back, it would be permitted. The Paiskim also go on to discuss that even though our Gemara says that everybody should be treated equally, the halacha, however, is that if a Talmud Chacham comes to the Torah, even though there's a line, there perhaps the halacha is that a Talmud Chacham, their halacha clearly is that a Talmud Chacham is treated first. The interesting shaila is, what will be the halacha regarding a Kohen? This is a question, is there a chiyuv, is the obligation to give the kohen preference even in a situation where it may cause me a loss? That means if we have a number of people in our Gemara waiting to be for Din Torah, and if we take the kohen first, then the other people can't go to work or can't do whatever they do to earn a living. Perhaps under those circumstances there is no obligation to give a kohen precedence. Furthermore, the Bach says that when our Gemara says that when it comes to Din Torah and a Beis Din, first come, first served, says the Bach, that's only when both people are standing by the Beis Din. That there the halacha, says the Bach, that the first, if the Dayanim are ready or in session, the halacha is first come, first served. But if the Dayanim are not yet in session, there, and the number of people walk into Beis Din at the same time, there the Dayanim have a right to choose which Din Torah they want to start with first. Which opens itself up to another question, as I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein discusses. He says, let's say there's a store, this happens often enough, that's having a very big sale. The store opens 9 o'clock in the morning, but because people are anxious to be there first to take advantage, they line up already in the middle of the night to be online to get in first. So according to the Bach, the concept of first come, first serve doesn't apply until the store actually opens. So what would be the halacha if we have this long line? Is there an issue of first come, first serve, even before the store opens? So he says, even though if we want to follow the ruling of our Gemara, of Kekot and Kegal Tishmon, that we have to go first come, first serve, that's, as the Bach says, only when the store is already open. There's still, as we mentioned earlier, a concept of Tzedek V'yosher. And Tzedek V'yosher says that the person who was waiting online first should have the ability to go in first. The Pasuk says, L'segurim apnei ish, as we've learned, Al tachnas tevarecha apnei ish. Don't hold back because you're scared of any of the litigants. Continues the Pasuk, Kamishpet l'alokim hu. Amar Reb Chama b'Reb China, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lo'dayin l'Rishoyim sh'noit l'mizem moment. It's not bad enough that judges who are Rishoyim take money wrongfully away from somebody, v'noisin l'zeh sh'lo b'din, and give it to a person who doesn't deserve it improperly, elos matrich noisay lach z'manim l'balav, that I, Kadosh Baruch Hu, have to make sure that the wrong party gets back the money that's really his. Ask the Mefarshim, how can we say on HaKadosh Baruch Hu matrichim? It's a bother. Is there a tircha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is there something which is difficult for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do? So one pshat that the Banya Yad suggests is that any time HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make a change in the operation of the world and the change of the teva, that's called a tircha. It's not that it's necessarily difficult for him to do. It's of course not difficult, but it represents a tircha that he had to make this change. And here too, if he has to make that this person should get the money, this person should lose the money, that's considered a tircha. Another pshat that he says is if chas v'sholem, let's say one of these litigants is no longer alive. The person who's supposed to get the money is no longer alive. So now it's a tircha how that money should get back to him. He's not here that the money should be returned to him. The pasuk continues. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vadovar ashiyik shemechem." If you tovar ashiyik tovar levishmativ. So says the Gemara. For making the statement that Moshe Rabbeinu said, anything difficult you should bring to me, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Because we find that indeed by the situation of the Bnei Tzolofchad that came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a question how the Yerusha should be divided, and the Pasuk says, V'yakarev Moshe es mishpatam l'fnei Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer. He had to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maskler of Nachman Yitzchak, Miksiv Ashmi Eichem. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have said the words Vashmi Eichem, being confident that he's going to know the answer, we could understand the Gemara's issue. Vishmatiksiv. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, if I Gemirna, if I know the answer to the question, Gemirna, fine. Viloi, if I don't know the answer, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Azilna Gemirna, I'll go learn it. And in fact, from here, we Farshim point out, that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael is that even though he's the great Moshe Rabbeinu, if he feels the consultation with others are necessary, he will go for consultation. So why was he punished? Says the Maral Kretanya. Ruya Parashas Nachash Kosh Valideh Moshe Rabbeinu. Actually, the Parasha of Yerusha, which we'd learned at great length in Masechta Bava Basra, should have been taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ella, since the Bnei Tzolofchad had this great love of Eretz Yisrael, the Parsha of Yerusha was written through them. Similarly, Ruyai Saparshas Mekoshish, Shetikos Vayidei Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that Mekoshish was the person who was Mechal Shabbos, and really Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the one that taught us the punishment for someone who's Mechal Shabbos. El Shenzchai Mekoshish V'nichtav Al Yodai, this parsha of the punishment for Chil Shabbos was written through the Mekoshish. Lamdecha, Shemagalgal Choy Vaidei Chayiv, somebody does something wrong is the vehicle through what we learn this. And that's why the Mekoshish is from whom we learn the Chayiv Misa for Chil Shabbos. V'schus HaYidei Zakai, and somebody who does something good is the vehicle to learn something good. The B'nai Tzolof God, because of the great love of Eretz Yisrael. There is a pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests that actually the Mekoshish was Tzlafchad. And the Mekoshish entire purpose in being Mechal Shabbos was to teach Klal Yisrael the severity of Shmir Shabbos and the Oynish, the punishment for Chilul Shabbos. And therefore, these two Gemaras are actually, according to the Chassam Sofer, to go together. The Mekoshish was the Mechal Shabbos, and the Mekoshish daughters were the Benoit Tzlafchad. And they both did, both of them were mentioned in the Torah that we will have them remembered forever. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer says that pshat in the pasuk in Yeshayahu, which we read on Tainis Sibur by half Torah, the pasuk says ki koyama Hashem l'surisim asher yishmer Hashem soisai, talks about people who care about Shabbos. Nasati lam bebeisim chamoisi yad v'shem toy mi bonim and bonos shem olam etem loy ashloi kores. What is the pasuk teaching us? What the pasuk is teaching us, says the Chassam Sofer, is that the person, the Mekoshish, that brought about Shmira Shabbos, teaching Klai Yisrael the importance of Shmira Shabbos, is remembered, Beisi B'chamoisi, he's remembered Shem Olam forever, through Bonai Benoisei, through his children, through the Benoisei Salafchad. And actually, as I said, many Mepharshim suggest that the Mekoshish Kavona, what intent was just to teach Klal Yisrael the importance of Shmir Shabbos. And in fact, the Mashah points out that the Mekoshish was really not Mechal Shabbos. Because we've learned many times that a Melacha Sheret Tzricha L'Gufa is not, according to Rav Shimon, considered an Issa D'Raisa. The Mekoshish, when he chopped the wood or whatever Melacha he did on Shabbos, with his entire purpose was just to teach Klal Yisrael the importance of Shmir Shabbos and the punishment for Chilul Shabbos. So remains the Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, which is not considered Chilul Shabbos, certainly according to Rav Shimon, Chilul Shabbos D'Raisa. So ask the Pnei Yeshua, if so, why was the Mekoshish put to death if it really wasn't Chilul Shabbos D'Raisa? Says the Pnei Yeshua that Ein L'dayin El Masha Ein Avroyos. The Mekoshish was Mechal Shabbos. He got the proper Hasra. He had the Edim saying that you be Mechal Shabbos. The fact that in his heart it was a Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa doesn't change the reality. And that's why it was Mechayiv Misa. But it's interesting to note that the Shalos Tshuvos Torah Lishma discusses the following situation. He says there was once a hotel. It wasn't such a fancy hotel. Everybody slept in one big room. And there was a Jew, a religious Jew, sleeping in that room on a Friday night. And comes into the hotel a group of anti-Semites. And if they would recognize that this individual was a Jew, they would chase him out. They are not going to sleep in the same room as the Jew. And it was very cold, and he didn't want to be expelled into the cold. So the Jew said, I'm going to light a candle. Again, the entire purpose of his turning on the candle just to prove, is just to get that they shouldn't suspect him of being a Jew. So to Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, and therefore he thought that it's not Chil Shabbos D'Raisa that he's allowed to do it. And the Shalos Tshuvos Torah Lishma discusses, is this appropriate to be done or not? And the Masham says that certainly it shouldn't be done. Certainly, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is this in the Raisa, he had no right to do it. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, who we paskin like, that Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is only in Issa D'Rabbanon, Chilul Shabbos should not be taken so lightly. The Gemara continues. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'tzave sheftechem beisahi." Moshe Rabbeinu commanded the judges, "V'ksiv tzave eschem beisahi." He commanded the people. Who is he commanding? Amar Reb Loza, Amar Reb Simloi, as Harlot Tzibur shetei emos dayin aleim. He was warning the people to give the proper respect to the yodim. That's Harlot dayin she is belos tzibur, and he was warning the dayin that they should tolerate the community. At Kama, Like a father carries a child. So then Yaakov explains, why doesn't the Gemara ask how much do the community have to respect the Rabbanim? So he answers, since the Gemara says, as Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmid Chachamim, the respect that Rabbanim have to receive is equal that question doesn't have to be asked. The question is, how much respect does the Rav have to give to the community? And and as the Pnei Maven explains, what the Gemara means is the same that a parent is willing to tolerate a child, that is the degree that a dayan should tolerate the community. Continues the Gemara. Ksiv, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yeshua, Ki ato tavoy, you will lead the people into Eretz Yisrael. Ksiv, Ki ato tavoy, you will go, you will be a member of those entering Eretz Yisrael. Ksiv, on the other hand, it says, Ki ato tavoy, you will lead. So, what is it? Will he be a member or will he be a leader? Amar Yochanan, Amar Moshe Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, Atav Zakenim Shabidorimon. You with the other Zakenim will be those that take Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Omlai Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, wrong. Tomakel Vachal Kakodom, take a stick and tell them, Dabar Echad Lador Ven Shnei Dabar Lador. There's only one leader, there are no two leaders to Klal Yisrael. So the Mefarshim discuss at great length, how could Moshe Rabbeinu dispute, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there should be one leader. How would Moshe Rabbeinu suggesting to Yeshua that he should be part of a group? So the simple answer, that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving Yeshua advice. When he was giving advice, as we discussed earlier, that he should consult with the other leaders. And as the Mefarshim explained, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Onam Mikol Adam, the very humble person, felt that that's the proper way of leading, with consultation, with modesty. Because Baruch says leadership means strength, and leadership means that you have to make your own decision ultimately. Another pshat that I saw, that we all recall the parasha actually in the Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu named the Zakenim, and then we had Yeshua running to Moshe saying, Eldar Umeidah Misnabim B'toich HaMachna. Yeshua was concerned about Eldar Umeidah saying Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't. What was the reason Yeshua was concerned that Moshe wasn't? Moshe Rabbeinu realized that all of the Nevuah, that all Nevi'im in his generation said, emanated from Moshe Rabbeinu being the Rabbim Shekol Nevi'im, the Rebbe of all the Kol Nevi'im. So there could be many Nevi'im that were really only extensions of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu assumed that so was going to be the case by Yeshua. There could be many leaders, but their strength all emanate from Yeshua. But that was an error that Moshe Rabbeinu made. The Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is a very unique Nevuah, unlike the Nevuah of any other Nevi'im. Another answer I saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were speaking about two different aspects of leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking about the aspect that Yehoshua would be continuing Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. What Moshe Rabbeinu had set up, Yeshua would be continuing. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one element. And then there's another element that Yeshua should do on his own. And then there's another element, there are new situations that come up. For that, Yeshua should have consultation. And in fact, I saw in the Shaul Satshuva's Kan Aaron, that he was asked the question, if a shul, a community is hiring a rabbi, and they want to include in the contract that the rabbi, if he wants to institute new rules in the community, not halachic issues, but rules that are for the community's purpose, that he should consult with the board of directors. Is that appropriate or not? And the Shalosh Tshuva of the Kana Aharon says, absolutely fine. Because as much as Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Yeshua, consultation with others is very commendable. The Briskerov says a different teretz. The Briskerov says that actually Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua had dual roles. On one hand, they were malochim, they were the melech, they were the king of Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, they were also the Rashi Sanhedrin, the head of the court. And explains the Briskerov, the position of Rosh Sanhedrin is given over from one Rosh Bezdin to the next Rosh Bezdin. The position of Melech, of king, is given b'nevuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was telling Yeshua that he should be a member of the Sanhedrin, was speaking about the position that Yeshua would have as Rosh Bezdin, which Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Rosh Bezdin, was now transmitting to Yeshua, the next Rosh Bezdin. He's saying that you'll be a Rosh Bezdin together with the rest of the Sanhedrin. Whereas the position of Melech, which Moshe Rabbeinu was giving to Yeshua as the Navi from Hashem, that is a position that he has to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's directive. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Daba achad l'dor vein shnei dabarim l'dor. The Meshech Chochma has another pshat. The Meshech Chochma says that we know that as Moshe Rabbeinu was dying and Yeshua was going to take over his position, the Zakenim Shabbos Dor, the Gemara says, Pnei Moshe Pnei Chama Upnei Yeshua Kpnei Levana. Moshe is compared to the sun, Yeshua is compared to the moon. Oilai Sabusha Oilai Sechlima, says the Meshech Chochma, that an object which is illuminated by the bright light of the sun is so illuminated that that object can illuminate other objects as well. However, moonlight, which itself is only a reflection of the sun, is not bright enough to reflect onto another object that other object will be able to illuminate further. That's what the Zakenim said regarding Moshe. They said that they absorbed so much Kedusha and Chochma from Moshe Rabbeinu that they were able to influence others as well. Whereas under Yeshua's leadership, they didn't have the same level that they absorbed from Yeshua enough to influence others. So obviously the ones who felt the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu more than anyone else were the Zakenim. And that is how the Meshech Chochma explains our Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his humility, just felt that just like he had so much light that he could illuminate onto the Zakenim, that they could go and influence further, so too would Yehoshua be able to do. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua to lead the people together with the Zakenim, because he felt that the Zakenim would absorb from Yeshua so much that they could join in the leadership of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever knew that Yeshua was only a Levana, that Yeshua didn't have that Madrega, didn't have that degree that he could illuminate the Zakenim, that they should be able also to absorb from Yeshua so much that they could take what they get from Yeshua and influence further. And therefore Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua will have to lead by himself. He doesn't have the ability to give to the Zakenim so much that they could use what they get from him to go further. Says the Gemara, Tana Zimun B'Shloisha. The Braisa says that Zimun is done 2-3. Ask the Gemara, my Zimun. What does the Braisa mean when it says Zimun? Elam Birka Zimun, if it means benching, then we know that to say Zimun, we have to have three people. For Tanya, the Braisa says Zimun or Birka Zimun B'Shloisha. So we see that Zimun and Birka Zimun are not one and the same. The Chitema, And if we want to explain the Braisa, that Purusha Kamafarish, that the Braisa is to be understand that my Zimun, what does the Braisa understand? What is Zimun? Birka Zimun? So that can't be. Because for Tanya, Zimun Mishloisha, Birka Zimun Mishloisha. So we see that Zimun and Birka Zimun are not one and the same. Otherwise, the word Shloisha should not be inserted after the word Zimun. A Birka Zimun is just an explanation of the word Zimun. Elamai Zimun, what does Zimun mean? Azmuni Ladin, summoning someone to a Din Torah. Kihadam Rava, Hani Beit Tlosa the Yana the Yatsvi. You have three Dayorim that are sitting. V'Ozer Shlich the Beidin of Amar Pum Dechad, and he goes summons. Some the Bezdin's messenger goes summon someone to the entire just on the one die and say so. The summons is not the Azmana is not considered Azmana Adam Mishmei the Kula unless the Azmana comes from all three Dayanim. However, says the Gemara, Hani Mili below Yom Dedina. This is if the summons was issued not on the day the Bezdin sits in session, Monday and Thursdays. Av b'yom dedina. If the day of Bezdin is in session, less lombard, this halacha doesn't apply, and it could be issued by one dayan. Machlokes Rishonim, if indeed it was issued by one dayan, because it was issued on a day the Bezdin is in session, what is the halacha regarding the person who received the summons? The Rashi seems to learn that he has a full obligation to appear. However, the halacha will be that normally if someone ignores a hazmana, a summons of court, he's put into chayrim. Here, he would not be put into chayrim. The Yad Ramah seems to learn that if he chooses to ignore, he may ignore. It's interesting to note that Ramosha in a tshuva says that nowadays when a summons is issued by Bezdin, the halacha is, the minig is, that we don't have Bezdin sit in session signing the summons. Rather, the three dayanim can sign the summons not sitting together. All three of them are approached by the court administrator, and he signs the hazmana. Our Gemara seems to learn that hazmana, says Rav Moshe, requires a yeshivas Bezdin, that Bezdin should be in session and write the hazmana. So Moshe makes a very interesting point. He says, only when the halacha was that if someone didn't show up to the Din Torah, he was put into chayrim, is the halacha that the hazmana has to be signed by the three dayanim sitting together. However, nowadays, that we don't put a person into chayrim for not coming to Din Torah, the hazmana does not have to be signed by all three dayanim sitting together. Furthermore, says Rav Moshe, even though that the hazmana can ultimately lead to a siruf, that if someone gets three hazmonas and still refuses to show up, the halacha is he's considered a masar of love aladin, and he may even be given a permission to go to court, the claimant. So why here isn't it that way? Says Rav Moshe, this that a person who ignores three hazmonas is considered a masarif, and we could give the other party the right to go to court, says Rav Moshe, it's not a psak bezdin. It's a halacha that someone's in the category of masarif love aladin may go to court if his opponent is masarif love aladin, and therefore yeshivas bezdin is not necessary. We learned in the Mishnah that tashlume keifo and all the tashlume knosses are done with three dayanim. Shalach le Rav Nachman by Rav Chisda, Rav Nachman by Yaakov. Yilam deinu Rabbeinu. Dine knosses bekama. How many dayanim are required for an entire that involves a knas? Ask the Mamaika Mabayali. What's the question? It's a Mishnah that we just learned. Hanan, at the beginning of our Masecht, Hanan Tanan, Bishloisha. The Mishnah clearly said three. It says, the Gemara, Yochan Mumcha Kamabayali. The question was, could a Yochan Mumcha pass in an entire don't din knasas aloy? As we learned early in the Masechta, that under certain circumstances, we are allowing a dayan yechidi, a dayan yochid mumcha, to paskin a din Torah of monetary affairs. So our Gemara's question is the same going to be by knas? So just like Chazal allowed a yochid mumcha to paskin a din Torah of mumnis, or in Kadesh, like Tinal Dals, Bufnei Lovin, and other concepts, will the same be by knas? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Tinesua. The answer we learned in our Mishnah. Tashlume Kefa v'Tashlume Abba v'Chamish b'Shloisha. Now, my Shloisha, who are the three that our Mishnah refers to? Ilei m'Shloisha Joitus, it means three people who are Joitus. Ha'amavu adavuch m'shmei d'raf, afil asor v'hinei Joitus, p'sum adinei Knossos. Her Joitus should not get involved in dinei Knossos. Elo, it must be that our Mishnah is speaking about Mumchim. And yet the Mishnah says, for Kol Mishloisha, you need to have three Dayonim, less than three Dayonim, cannot pass in the Shaila of Knossos, even though they're Mumchim. For Chamayim, we learned in the Mishnah, Machloikis, the Chachamim, and Rav Meir, how many Dayonim are needed for the entire Motzi Shemra? Be'esrim v'shloisha. So just to frame the situation, if a husband accuses his Kala that she was not a psula, the halacha is she loses a ksuba. If he could bring Adam that she had an adulterous relationship while she was in Arusa, she's mechuyev skila. If, on the other hand, it turns out that the husband was a mitzi shemra, the halacha is that he has to pay meya kesef, a fine of 100 kesef, v'loy siya le'isha, he must keep her as his wife forever, and finally he gets Malkus. Al Gemara is assuming that Amish is referring to a situation where the husband accuses his wife of not being a psula, but he doesn't have Adam that there was any adultery. So the dentira of our Mishnah is purely a financial dentira, which according to Rashi, which is the pshat that we're going to learn, the issue here is he obligated to pay the ksuba? So ask the Gemara, how do we understand the opinion of the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say that Mati Shemra can have a situation of Din and Nefashis. But right now, we're not referring to such a Dentaira. We're referring to Dentaira that they're only arguing over the Ksuba. The Chiyesh by Din and Nefashis may have. This case, we only brought Adam. They didn't bring Adam. And the Dentaira is only regarding the Ksuba payment. So why should the Rabbanan require a bezdin of 23? The machlokes in our mishnah between Rav Meir and Chachamim is if we start this dentaira, perhaps afterwards, Adam who did see the adultery may show up, and then we'll need a dentaira of 23, a bezdin of 23. We're not concerned that just because we have this dentaira, we have to worry that other Adam will come and it'll turn into a capital case. Rabbanan, however, are concerned, and that's why they say immediately we should start with a bezdin of 23. This is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says the word laz usually means something improper. Here laz means that just there's going to be knowledge of what's going on and it'll bring Adam. And that's why Tosfos has a different pshat. Rav Amar Kulam laz lachshin. We're not concerned about that. The machloek between Ramei and the Chum is b'choshin l'kvoinim sh'rishonim k'befugi. Do we have to worry about the judges who were originally gathered to try this case? And the case of our Mishnah is referring to a situation. At the beginning, it was assumed that this was a capital case, and therefore a bezin of 23 assembled. Vivder. But the husband cannot produce Adam, that she had an adulterous affair as she was in Arusa, so they disbanded. But the husband says, at least see that she's not a psula and I shouldn't have to pay the ksuba. And now we have a machloikus from Meir the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that even though now it's purely a financial matter, we still need 23 dayonim that were there in the first place. Since they originally came together to try this case, it would be a lack of respect not to retain them for the continuation of the case. Whereas Rameya holds that we're not worried about that. And therefore, since now we simply have a monetary case, the halacha is that we could have it tried by three dayorim. Ask the Gemara. According to Ula, that the concern of the Chachamim is that Edom may come forth when that though that she had this relationship, and that's why the Rabbanon require a Bezdin of 23. May say, so the following Brisa says, V'chama Oimrim Tava Marim B'Shloisha. If the Din Torah is a case of Din Mamin, of monetary issue, we need three Dayanim. Tava Nefashis, but if it's a case of the of capital case, Ves M'Shloisha. Bishlam L'Rava, we could understand this Brisa according to Rava's explanation of the Machlokus of Ramei and the Chachamim. Tava Mamin T'chila, that if the Din Torah began in the first place just to be discussing the Ksuba, everybody will agree B'shloisha, that three Dayanim are enough. Tav Nefashis T'chila, however, if the Nantara began as a capital case, a Afilu Mamon, even at the end now, where that case is no longer an issue, because he hasn't successfully brought Edim, the Rabbanan's opinion is Besim B'shloisha. El Ula, according to Ula, that even if the original claim was a purely financial claim, the Rabbanan require a Bezdin of 23, because Choshen La'az, how does this Brisa say that if it starts off Tavim Mamin, the Rabbanan will agree that three Dayanim, Bishloisha, are enough? Kasha, isn't this a difficulty in understanding Ula's explanation of the opinion of the Rabbanan? Amarova, Aniva Risha B'chabur Tagmino, Omani Rav Chibar Avet, Hochem Ma'iskinet, what's this price referring to? Shevi Bal Edim Shetzinsa. The husband brought Edim that the woman had this adulterous relationship. Vehevi Av Edim Vizimul Edi Abal. But then the husband's Edim became Edim Zoymimim. Bal Ligvus Mamim Abal. So now the husband, we know our loch is, the Vasisim Loi, Kashizomim Lassus Lechav. And therefore the father could collect from the husband the money, the fine. So says the Gemara, Bal Ligvus Mamim Abal, if the father is coming to exact the knas from the husband, B'Shloisha. However, B'Makim Nefashis, but we're concerned that the husband still may be successful in bringing Edim that she had this adulterous relationship, there Esrim Shloisha are required. Rameyra, that's the opinion of the Chachamim, explained to Rishonim. Rameyra's opinion, however, is that we don't have to be concerned that the husband will bring such Edim, because if his original pair of Edim were turned into Edim Zoymim, it's obvious there are no Edim that saw the wife act this way. Abayama, the Kolam Chishin Laza, could well be that everybody's concerned that Edim will come. Furthermore, everybody is concerned about Kfodim Shul Rishonim. Hochmai Skinner, what is the machloikah between Ramei and Rabbanan all about? Kigoyin the Asr Beistam, where Asra was given, but it wasn't mentioned the exact type of death she would get if she would be over the Avera. Vaitarahu, the Tanya, Vishar Komisah Shabbatayr, besides someone who's a Mesis, incites people to do Avodah Zorah, Ema Misim El Be'eda, you need to have a quarter 23, Edim and Asra. The truth is, the Rishonim say that a Mesis also requires Asra. He just doesn't require that the exact type of death be part of that Asra. Vachyudi Shuchai Misa Bebezdin. Rehuda says, Achyudu Be'ezim Misa Nerik. It's not just to say that there's a Chi Misa for the Savera, but it also has to be said what type of Misa. And that's the Machlokes in our Mishnah. The Chachamim Mishnah says that even a general warning is enough, and therefore, since even a general warning is enough, this may be a capital case, because that's what happened here, and therefore the halacha should be that the woman, the Bezdin of 23, is required. Rameya, however, says that the warning has to be specific, and our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there was no specific warning, and given that there was no specific warning, it can never turn into a capital case, and that's why Ramei says it remains simply a monetary case with three Dayanim would be enough.